You're listening to Faith and Film, a joint podcast by the Catholic Communications Network and the Clifton Diocese. It's my great joy to be joined by Father Peter Malone, something I can't say very often in the flesh, Peter, these days.
No, this is an unusual visit to the UK, retracing steps and deja vu of living here for so long.
For this particular conversation, I'd like to look at exorcism, possession. It seems to be, would it be fair to say, a theme that titillates directors?
I don't know about directors, but it certainly does that for audiences, judging by the number of films made in more recent years, as well as box office takings. Do you know, James, that actually prior to Rosemary's Baby, which was 1968, most of the presentations of the devil were rather reticent or humorous. Things like Heaven Can Wait, in which the devil is there judging people and sending them wherever, up or down, etc. But with Rosemary's Baby and Ira Levin's book, things became very, very serious. And I remember being very surprised in 1968. I had never thought of this, but if the incarnation of God is possible, then the incarnation of the devil is metaphysically possible. And so that was a bit of a shock. So we were dealing with that, but then out came William Peter Blatty's book, The Exorcist, and the film in 1973. And we had memories of possession because there have been stories from the gospel times right through Christian history. But here was something dramatic in Washington, D.C. And it really made quite an impact. You wouldn't remember those days.
Well, I think I was minus two.
You definitely don't remember those days. But they made a sequel with Richard Burton, which got terrible reviews, but which I thought was an interesting, different variation. And then finally a third one in 1990 with George C. Scott. And then two prequels in the early part of the 21st century, one of which was considered not horrible enough by Paul Schrader. And so Rennie Harlan, an action director, was asked to make another one with the same cast. So in fact, based on Blatty's book, there have actually been five films over a period of 30 years. And as you would guess, it set a trend.
Well, I suppose The Omen is one that people might point to fairly comfortably.
Well, The Omen came out 3 years after The Exorcist. So during the 1970s, we had very high-powered, Oscar-nominated films with Oscar-nominated people, so The Omen with Gregory Peck and Lee Remick, for instance. And there were sequels for that. So by 1978, we had Omen 2, and Damien, the evil child, was growing up, and then he became Sam Neill in 1981 in The Final Conflict, in which I was horrified when some nuns rang me up and said, the girls are bringing the Bibles to school. That was a bit of a shock in those days too, but they wanted to find the text from the book of the Apocalypse that was in The Final Conflict, which of course was made up by the screenwriters. So you had those kinds of strange experiences. Then there was a fourth one about 1990, which was rather minor. And then by 2006, they remade it. And so 30 years, we have five Omen films as well. So they're very much on film buff psyches, if they're interested in, say, possession or incarnations of the devil.
Now, I know you're not an exorcist, but what would you say? Would you say of any of those films, or in fact any others that you've seen portrayed on screen, what would you point to that might be a little bit more true to life in terms of the rite of exorcism?
Well, a friend of mine, a German who's very thorough and wants to do a project on cinema and film, he told me that he was very impressed by the Exorcist film itself, that the ritual used was exactly right. I would have to say, there you are, you have quite an authentic example in The Exorcist. It's interesting that there are a whole lot of variations, even a blaxploitation exorcism film called Abbey in the 1970s, which moved possession out of the Catholic arena. There was also House of Exorcism, a kind of spaghetti exorcist horror films, Beyond the Door, Holocaust 2000, a whole lot if you were to go online and start checking out all these titles. But it wasn't, I think, till the last 10 years that there was a kind of renewed and fresher interest in exorcism stories, with the possibility of their being a bit more authentic. The film I'd like to single out for that is The Exorcism of Emily Rose from about 2005. I thought it was very well done. Interestingly, the director I'd met a number of times, he's a very earnest Presbyterian, Scott Derrickson, but was interested in this kind of story, and I think he treated it very well. All points of view, especially in the courts with Campbell Scott and Laura Linney, and the priest who did the exorcism, where the girl died, played by Tom Wilkinson. So it was a respectable cast, a respectable director, and good dialogue. Soon after, a German film came out called Requiem, which was based really on the actual story that Emily Rose was based on, which happened in Bavaria. So Requiem is, again, a very respectable look, quite unsensationalized in terms of possession, the handling of it by family, the handling of it by the church and the clergy. So those would be two, I think, that I would single out. Last year, there was a strange film. I was thinking I perhaps ought to write something about it. But by the time it ended, it seemed just a variation on Paranormal Activity, one of these pretend films that is actually fiction masquerading as fact. And, you know, times and places and names and dates, and you think, oh, this is actually happening. But it was interesting insofar as it was outside a Catholic context. It was a fake preacher who claimed that he was an exorcist, but a bit of a con man, who is called in to what seems to be a genuine situation. And of course, mayhem breaks out, so that it's really a bit of a horror film as well. But it was called The Last Exorcism, and it raised those kinds of issues, and people went to see it.
Do you think there's at all a danger that, because there are so many sensationalised films and renderings of possession, that it's something that we either take less seriously or don't pay too much heed to, apart from being scared out of our wits type of thing? Do you think theologically there's actually a danger that we don't look at demonic possession as we should as Catholics?
I don't think so. Now, let me see. Why did I say that? Let me go back to The Exorcist itself. In 1973, it was a shock, and those questions were asked. I remember 25 years later, Archbishop Hart of Melbourne contacted me in the Australian Catholic Film Office and said, The Exorcist is being re-released, 25 years anniversary. I've been asked for a comment. And then he said, well, it really didn't do very much to disturb us as Catholics 25 years ago, so in 1998, one should hardly worry. It worried people who were shaky in their faith. If you're a solid Catholic, all right, this is part of, you know, the gospel traditions, in a sense we're used to it and we've got frameworks to think about it. If you're not religious, it's just another variation on a horror film, so you're not worried. But people who may be shaky in their faith or lapsed, as Ellen Burstyn was as the character, the mother of the girl in The Exorcist, maybe that's where the kind of worry is. But it means, on the whole, the films really raise the issues and give us some kind of thought, enabling us to see what we believe, what's of faith, what's of superstition, what's of ritual, what's of self-inducement, all those kinds of issues that come up.
Well, Peter, appreciate your time and your wealth of experience there, and perhaps we can talk about The Exorcist 15 in about 20 years' time.
Yes, and then, James, I'd like to use the title which I did for an article, taking a comedy of the 1953, but a bit more literally, it was called Beat the Devil.
Very appropriate.